webheads, and welcome to another edition of Spider-Man, the Animated Series Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Robson, and with me, as always, is my co-host, my brother, comic book artist, and the guy who likes to put Easter eggs into his own work. It's Mr. Will Robson. Say hello, Will.
Hello, everybody. Happy Easter. Christ has risen. We love Jesus. Right? We're religious podcast now?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. We
found Christ. He was in our back garden having a cup of tea.
And we'd completely changed our ways.
Christ, he went, hello, William Alexander, it's me, Jesus Christ. And I went, oh, Jesus.
Why does he sound like Santa Claus?
Because we're one and the same.
It's our annual Easter egg special episode where we review Easter eggs of Spider-Man the Animated Series. But first, as always, we're going to start with the question, how is the art life going for you?
Very busy. Busy boy.
Yeah, what's keeping you busy?
Well, I just got offered another small writing and drawing gig for Dynamite Comics, so I had to short deadline on it. I had to get it done in a week, writing and drawing, penciling and ink, and I was like, oh my! So I've just been kicking ass on that.
Well, that's cool, because I'm holding in my hands your first published writing.
Oh.
I know no one can see it because this is an audio-only podcast, but you can go pick up Red Sonja issue number 25, and Will also not only did a short backup story, which is his first gig at writing, but you've got your own variant cover as well, don't you?
I do.
I think it looks great.
And the main cover is a Jay Lee cover, which is also cool.
Yeah, so for anyone that wants to check out his first gig at writing, as well as, writing and drawing, but your first gig as a writer, you've done many, many comic books before that, mate.
I have, yes.
You can go check it out. Dynamite issue number 25 of Red Sonja.
And coming up on hashtag 420 is my 6-year anniversary of working at Marvel Comics.
You started on 420?
I got offered my first gig on Star-Lord on 420. I looked at it the other day because I was like, what's the date? And I was like, oh, that's hilarious.
Bro, that's like so cool because it's like 420 and you know what that means, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. get so fucking ripped, bro.
I wish I used to smoke like I was when I was a teenager and just getting high and chilling out.
I don't think you get any work done.
No.
You get no work done.
I'm sick of working for a living, are you?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not even currently working right now. I've got to take a break on the old pizza biz. But once that starts ramping up again, I will certainly have my moments where I'm like, I don't want to work today. But that's life.
Right? Taxes are too high, aren't they?
Yeah, they're a bitch. Anyway, this is not a podcast about taxes and Jesus.
Two things I despise the most.
All right.
Organized religion and organized taxes.
Let's talk about two people that we do like and follow religiously, and that is Kingpin and Smythe.
You botched another important operation, Smythe.
You will do as you are told. My name is Alistair Smythe.
It seems the new Alistair is just as disappointing as the old.
A crime lord known as the Kingpin.
As you should know, Smythe, in spite of my size, I have the agility of a cat. It is time for me to cut my losses and make a change. No!
Okay, so we've got a Kingpin and Smythe written in by Walter Kane. Walter Kane has said, simply, this week's Kingpin and Smythe scenario is, Kingpin and Smythe compete in the Winter Olympics.
Oh, I don't know anything about the Olympics.
Well, yeah, but you know the games and stuff, don't you? There's, like, Winter Olympics.
The one where they chuck the ball, the kettle across the floor, and then they run with it?
No, I think that's the Summer Olympics. Winter's all on...
It's on ice.
The ball on ice? I don't know what you're talking about.
Kettle on ice. And they go... Oh, they're moving that back and forth, and then they go, yeah, and they chuck it, but then they have to, like, run down with it as well.
Oh, you know more than I do. I've never seen that competition before. I don't think I have.
I know of it. Everyone looks ridiculous who does it.
Well, I was thinking more in the line of, like, skiing and bobsleds.
high jump on the ski.
Yeah, I mean, I can already, now I've said bobsled, I'm thinking about Smythe turning his hover chair into a bobsled and going down the luge in it.
Well, what would Kingpin's thing be then?
I think he would look jokes in an all-white, like, onesie skiing outfit. So he just looks like a giant marshmallow out in the snow skiing.
The locals have nicknamed me Frosty the Snowman.
Can you see him?
Rub-a-dub-dub. Look at Kingpin go.
Can you see him weaving in and out of those markers? You know, when they go downhill and they have to weave around those.
I can't see Kingpin weaving in and out of anything.
It's just a big round ball going around on the
mark. Not even weaving in and out of his fucking trousers.
What about, maybe, oh, you know what? There's competitive ice dancing. So what if Kingpin and Smythe as a duet do like competitive ice dancing? Like they go out on the ice and they've got this like beautiful music and they're staring into each other's eyes as Kingpin raises Smythe above his head. They could have the most
just
epic.
Just like holding Kingpin up with like robotic arms and like just spinning around in his hover chair, like vroom, 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 vroom.
It's regulation, I swear, it's regulation.
It's the Paralympics, sir. Anything goes here.
The Paralympics? That's what we're doing now?
Well, it's because of Smythe.
Oh, so it's the Winter Paralympics.
Yeah.
And then what's
Kingpin's what? Like, and I am terribly obese. That is my disability.
That's not a disability. Oh, God. I could see them in the most epic outfits. Like, you remember that old movie, Blades of Glory, with Will Ferrell, how they had the most ridiculous tight outfits?
My first ever date. Oh, no, my second date to that. First ever was Spider-Man 2. My second date was to Blades of Glory.
With the same person? The
movies. Nope, different person.
Oh, you player.
I know.
Did you have, like, a girl for every type of movie? You're like, this one's a comedy, so this will suit Susie better.
I've been to the movies with four different women, one of them being my wife. One was my first ever girlfriend, Spider-Man 2. My second ever girlfriend, which was Blades of Glory. Then this girl who... I'm not going to say it, but... I went to go see The Dark Knight for a second time with this girl.
Right.
Who thought that we were going to be doing something like romantic and seeing a movie, but I was like, you want to go see Batman?
And don't talk to me for the entire 2 hours and 45 minutes it's on.
That's how, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And then next time I saw a movie with a girl, I guess it was my wife when we went to go see Guardians of the Galaxy. Maybe that was the first movie we went to go see with each other.
God, so you had a big break in between The Dark Knight and Guardians of going on a date to the movies.
I think there was a big break between Spider-Man 2 and Blades of Glory, isn't there?
Oh, I can't remember when those movies came out. I have no idea. I mean, that's when Napoleon Dynamite guy was still very popular because he was in that. Yeah, he was next to Will Ferrell as the co-star.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember much from that movie.
Neither do I.
If you know what I mean.
So, okay, I got a question for you out of that. Which date was the best and which movie experience was the best? So two different. They could be the same or two different.
The Spider-Man 2 date was the best.
Well, we've talked about that in a previous episode, right? Yeah.
I thought it was like a cute little like interaction. And then... the best movie was obviously The Dark Knight.
Because you just sat there in silence the whole time. She's pretty like...
The girl I saw was like, this movie's scary. I was like, oh, shut up.
At least she wasn't like, who's that? And you're like, it's Batman. She's like, I thought...
Well, I didn't even know I was on like a date, to be honest, because I was so... like, I didn't understand. Like, this girl was into me and I just didn't know it. Because I think at that time, sadly to say, it's like, I'm such a fat, horrible little thing. I don't think it's into me.
Well, what were the signals that she was throwing at you that made you realize afterwards that she was into you?
When someone told me that she was into me.
Oh, so someone else told you. She wasn't, like, making moves on you in the theater, being like...
No, but there was plenty of times where I should have made moves on her. Like, we were, like, stayed up all night chatting, and we went to the beach and like to watch the sunrise and stuff. And I was just like, "This," I was just sitting there like, "This is great. This is having a nice time."
Want to go see a Dark Knight for the third time? She's like, "No, I'm into you."
Oh, I thought you just liked comic book movies. I'm so sorry.
What we did, the Kingpin and Spy scenario.
No, we're skipping that one. That one's shit. Sorry, fucking Mr. Kane. That was garbage.
Oh, God. Well, that really encourages people to write in, doesn't it? Because I'm about to plug it.
If you write in and it's terrible, I will let you know.
Well, if you enjoy this podcast, please be sure to come visit us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Spider-Man.
He's not an Olympics guy. I just don't like the Olympics.
Well, they don't fucking know that, do they?
Well, now they do, Spider. Yeah,
apparently. At Spider-Man TAS Podcast is where we are on socials. Be sure to rate, comment, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts, as it helps us wall crawl up the charts and attract both new listeners and guests. And finally, you can also follow Will on his social media pages, see his artwork, stay up to date on what he's working on now, and get a glimpse into the workday of a comic book artist. Will, where can our listeners find you?
Anywhere at Robson INK.
That's right. All right, let's get into some news. So the first bit of news, the Winter Olympics, they're coming back. Are you excited? No, the first bit of news is Pierce Brosnan, possibly now my favorite James Bond. I think he's overtaken Daniel Craig, because I've been watching some of his old Bonds recently, and I'm like, this guy's got everything. But he's not coming back as James Bond. Instead, he's going to the DC extended movie universe, whatever they call it these days, and he's been cast as Dr. Fate in Black Adam. What do you think about that?
Cool.
Yeah, I'm... do you think...
Love that The Rock's like advertised, like, you guys aren't even ready for my superhero movie. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I'm ready for a Rock superhero movie.
And also, he's like, it's going to change the DC universe forever.
Yeah, he's like, it's going to change. No, not even the DC. He's bold enough to say it's going to change superhero movies in general.
I think he's just going to, like, have every single bit of merchandising out of that movie that he's just going to push on social media. Like his tequila. Now he's got an energy drink. Have you seen that? He's pushing that.
Do you think I'll have, like, the Black Adam edition of a tequila, which will just be like the coffee version of tequila.
Oh, so it's black. I love it.
Yeah.
But just with like gold glitter lightning going through it or some bullshit like that. I can see him trying to push that. Yeah, I like it. But with Pierce Brosnan, do you see the dude in a costume, like wearing a mask? I don't see him as like a costume guy.
It's me, Dr. Fate. The fate of the universe is in your hands, The Rock. I mean, Black Adam.
I'm just here for the birds.
My tequila's better than yours.
Oh, that's right. He's pushing a tequila as well. Oh, shit.
I am. It's over £300 a bottle. It's fucking ridiculous. All the ads are me, smoking a cigar and comfy clothes.
Goals, am I right? Goals.
Absolute goals.
I love how our Pierce
Brosnan... I live in Hawaii.
I love how our Pierce Brosnan is a middle-aged man just trying to have a shit. Like, he's clearly got, like, constipation
issues. This is the best I can do with my Pierce impression. I'd have to squint my eyes when I do it.
I'm Pierce Brosnan.
It's not a very good one, but it'll do.
It's also borderline, like...
Almost like Daniel Craig as Bond. Got him.
It's kind of borderline Godfather as well.
On the day of my daughter's wedding, I'm talking to you slowly as I'm clenching my buttocks.
Okay, next bit of news. The Long Halloween Part 1 animated movie cast has been announced, and an image has been released as well. So...
Is the image staying close to the art style?
That's what I was just about to sadly say. The image I saw doesn't look anything like Tim Sale's art, and the
I'm out.
Yep.
Goodbye.
Disappoints me.
I'm out immediately.
I totally agree. It looks like their standard DC animated style. He doesn't even have really long ears, and I'm like, why wouldn't you do that?
Oh, I'm out. I'm goodbye.
Yep.
Goodbye.
So there's some people casting it. I didn't write the cast down. They're names that you wouldn't recognize if I said them to you. But recognizable faces that you're like, oh yeah, that's that person from this. Troy Baker is coming back as the Joker.
Okay, well he's a good Joker.
He is a good Joker. I can't remember who Batman is. Some guy from like TV shows and stuff like that. I wasn't that interested.
Nice TV shows, huh?
Yeah, I wasn't that interested because I saw the image and I that's what I wanted to focus on. I was the same. I was like, oh, I'm out. So, bye.
That book is so beautifully stylized.
Well,
it's like if they said, like, we're bringing back Batman the Animated Series and it's going to look like this. You'd be like, that's not Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah, I agree. I am, yeah, I'm not a big fan. Oh, there was some dude as Harvey Dent. All right, I am going to look up the cast list now because there's some dude as Harvey Dent that you would
probably personally. I'm not really into the animated movies of any comic book.
No, would you like to
see that? They
would you like to see?
Just
the
feel
image?
A bit cheap, in my opinion.
Would you like to see the image?
I mean, that's a cool image. That looks really cool, actually.
But it's not Long Halloween, is it?
No, that's not Long Halloween, but that looks like a modern-day animated series a bit, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it's decent. They've got the
that's
film.
That's a much better image than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, but it's not, as you rightfully said, it's not Long Halloween, so you're out. Right?
Yeah, well, that was a cool image, so.
So we've got Jensen Ackles as Batman. The fuck did he do? Jensen Ackles is known for nothing, I reckon. Oh, he's in The Boys as Soldier Boy. Do you remember a character named Soldier Boy in The Boys? I don't.
No.
He's Jason Todd in Batman Under the Red Hood. And he's been in Smallville as some rando character. Not a lot going for him. Oh yeah, Joshua Duhamel is Two-Face.
Mark Hamill's kid?
No, Joshua Duhamel, this guy. He's in, like, the Transformers movies as the soldier. Do you recognize?
I've never seen those movies.
Well, you're lucky, because they're terrible. Not exciting enough, because I was way more excited for The Dark Knight Returns, because the cast sounded great.
That's the only one that I've actually really enjoyed, in my personal opinion.
And the art style is close to the book, as close as it can be for, like, an animated film, I think.
It's not close. But
I think it's
fairly
close.
The art style is not close to the Frank Miller art at all, but it works, so maybe this will be the same thing.
Maybe.
Exciting.
All right, next bit of news. Thundercats movie is now in development from the Godzilla vs. King Kong director, which comes out in England, I think, on 2nd of April. So, yeah, tomorrow, as we're recording. So there's going to be a Thundercats movie. What do you think?
Well, what, live action?
I don't know for sure. I assume so, considering they're announcing it, and it's from the guy who just did Godzilla vs. King Kong. So I'd assume it is live action.
What else has this guy done?
Why are you asking me such questions that I didn't have answers for?
Why are you asking me such questions?
All right, Godzilla versus Kong. He has done... okay, he has done VHS, that horror movie. Oh, he did the... we so love the movie Death Note on Netflix. He did that.
Oh, I feel like we talked about this guy before.
Yeah, we were talking about Death Note recently. He's done a lot of horror movies, actually. So I don't know how Thundercats is kind of fitting in that vein, unless he's just going to do some horror.
Death Note is not a bad-looking movie. It's just really poorly written and completely deviates from the source material.
No, he did Blair Witch,
like,
the sequel.
You looked cool in the movie.
Yeah.
He did what?
He did Blair Witch, the sequel. That Blair Witch Project sequel movie that was, like, not first-person camera footage.
I do remember there has something that stuck with me from the... I remember turning it off as a kid because it scared me. I remember... And there's a scene in the Blair Witch 2 where someone's, like, in a hospital room, and then, like, the curtain opens and there's just, like, a little dead girl there, and I was like, ah!
Oh, well, that's just, like, you done for.
That's, like, the thing that spooks me up the most. I remember sitting there being like, I don't want to watch! This is scary!
Yeah, that's you definitely done for. I wonder how he's going to take with... I suppose in Thundercats, Mum-Ra is pretty creepy. I remember being creeped out by Mum-Ra as a kid. I don't know. Thundercats, I mean, all of these properties are being brought back now, and I'll be interested. I don't know who the fuck they would cast as Lion-O.
Who would you want to be making a Thundercats movie?
Who would I want to make a Thundercats movie? Got to be someone, because these Thundercats, like, I don't want CG people, you know, like, I don't want Cats the movie, but in the form of Thundercats. I want, like, legitimate makeup and prosthetics and stuff like that. I don't know, maybe, like, Peter Jackson wouldn't be bad doing a
Peter Jackson's Thundercats.
It'd be pretty good. Andy Serkis could be Mumra.
I like Andy Serkis's Mumra. That's perfect.
That would be pretty good. I don't know who could be Lion-O.
Those damn Thundercats.
I have no idea who could be Lion-O. I mean, maybe... No, Chris Pratt would be a terrible Lion-O. I don't know why I was thinking that.
That's a terrible choice.
Yeah. It's hard to pick a Lion-O.
John Cena is Lion-O.
Well, you'd never see him.
Yeah, John Cena's Lion-O. Dwayne the Cock Johnson is the grey cat.
Oh, is it? It's Panthro.
Panthro or whatever.
Panthro, yeah. Oh, I kind of dig this. I'm now on board. You could do the wrestlers, like the Expendables version, but with wrestlers for Thundercats. So they're all wrestlers.
Batista as Panthro is a good shout.
Yeah, he is. That's a great shout. I love that.
I am Panthro.
Oh, that's so good. Because he has that like gravelly monotone voice.
Mm-hmm.
Basically Drax. He looks like Panthro as Drax.
Well, it'd probably be fucking Zack Snyder making it. Like, because he already did the big crab fucking driving thing for, like, in Justice League.
Oh.
Just like the Thundercats machine.
Yeah.
It would just be a bunch of slow motion to some ladies singing popular old 80s songs, but really slowly.
And all the Thundercats will have
a king, you'll be a cat.
Lion-O's drinking like a bottle of Jack Daniels and walking down a fucking runway with it.
No, you know who I'd have? I'd have Taika Waititi make that movie.
Oh, you've nailed it.
So it'd be something fucking super fun and kick-ass, and I hope that they'd have Thunder by AC/DC going in the background. It's like the fucking mole machine is just ripping through the earth.
Oh my god!
And you can just hear that song coming, and you see Mumra turning, like, what is that? And they're like, it's the Thundercats, sir.
And Taika would play like one of the Mumra goons, you know, one of the alien creatures. I'm now on board for this.
So it's the Thundercats, they're coming.
Oh, are we talking Chris Hemsworth then as Lion-O?
Oh, perfect casting.
That's amazing. I would so
with me.
Yes. Oh, I'm excited. Why is this movie not being made? I fucking love the Thundercats. Great.
So Batista's Panthro, he's Lion-O.
Are we still doing Andy Serkis?
Who's going to be Snarf, Snarf?
That could be Taika Waititi doing that.
Yeah, could be.
Could be Taika doing it, and maybe make Snarf Australian or Kiwi. That Snarf, would be amazing. Snarf,
innit?
Lion-O, g'day.
G'day, Lion-O.
Oh, my
God. Gonna go on your Lilo today, Lion-O.
Yeah, there's so many characters, and I can see us going down like our old casting call podcast.
I do like Andy Serkis's Mumra.
Yeah, that would be pretty good. Yeah, because he's basically doing his voice from Star Wars, but a bit raspier when he was Snoke.
There's the lady character as well.
Chitara.
Wow. Pull that out of your ass. That was amazing.
Yeah. I dug the Thundercats, man. That was my jam.
Scarlett Johansson as Chitara. There you go.
Yeah, that could be pretty good. I'd watch that. Yeah, I'm excited. Well, speaking of Taika Waititi, good segue here. Thor 4 has been ramping up and shooting. Thor 4. And a recent announcement is Russell Crowe has also been cast in Thor 4.
Thor 4.
So
very thoughtful of you.
Yeah, and you've got Christian Bale in it as well. So there's quite a cast in Thor 4.
It's two very serious actors in a...
A like, fun movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're showing off their diversity, you know? They got the chaps for it. I haven't seen Russell Crowe.
That's what it feels like.
Oh, I haven't seen Russell Crowe in anything since Man of Steel, and he was Superman's dad.
Yeah, neither have I. More like Girdle of Steel, am I right?
These are my super spandex. What is what does the S stand for? Small. Bullshit. It does stand for small. Super size, more like.
Saturated fats.
All right, next bit of news.
I love that. Have you seen that meme where it's like, what does the S stand for? And then Superman just goes, Snyder Cut.
Next bit of news. Obi-Wan Kenobi show, the full cast list has been revealed.
So I've seen the cast of the Obi-Wan show.
What do you think?
I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, so as we mentioned before, you got Hayden Christensen coming back. As Anakin.
The little picture they showed of him, I was like, who's that? And I was like, that's Hayden Christensen?
Well, yeah, it's been like, when did Revenge of the Sith came out?
He doesn't look older. He just looks different for some reason.
Yeah, well, it came out 20 years ago, that movie. 2002 or something like that, it came out.
That's when the second one came out, yeah. When he was a baby.
Yeah. So, you've got Joel Edgerton returning as Uncle Owen, because he was briefly in Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith.
Okay.
Kumail Nanjiani is in it, which I thought was random. Cause,
yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Because he's doing the Eternals movie, and he's all jacked up now for Marvel. So, I don't know if this is his next jump in another Disney franchise or not.
Everything I've seen him in, I like him in. Like, he's in that show Silicon Valley, which is pretty funny. As like a, you know, like an IT type guy, not an IT nerdy guy. But then I also watched a bit of that Twilight Zone that they re-came out with, the Jordan Peele Twilight Zone. And he played a character where he's a stand-up comedian who like makes a deal, but basically with the devil. And all he has to do is, in his stand-up, he has to, if he starts talking about somebody, everyone will start cracking up. But then that person disappears after that. So, for instance, he's like starts talking about his named little nephew, and then he goes to chat to his sister about his nephew, and there's like, what are you talking about? I don't have a nephew. It was pretty interesting.
Wow, weird. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
And he
was good at
that. Yeah, I like him. I've seen him in quite a few comedy movies and stuff over the years. I think he's great. So I'm excited about Obi-Wan. I think it's going to be fucking awesome.
I really hope it's good.
I really have high hopes, especially with Mandalorian being so good. And it's apparently
set... Who's directing it?
I don't have that information. I don't have... You should be sorry. I don't have the information in front of me. Give me a minute. But... So Deborah Chow is directing it, and she's done multiple episodes of The Mandalorian.
Oh, okay.
She's done multiple episodes of Better Call Saul. She's done multiple episodes of Mr. Robot.
Oh.
The Lost in Space TV show, Jessica Jones, Fear the Walking Dead, Iron Fist.
Oh.
Well, you got some good and bad ones, you know what I mean? But her directing stuff,
bad.
She didn't write them, she directed them, remember that. So it's all about them visuals. American Gods as well.
My friend's on that show.
Oh, here we go. Every time I fucking mention that show, you mention that one guy you went to uni with.
Yeah.
I know.
He's on that show?
Yes, you did. So Obi-Wan is also, the show premise is set 8 years after Revenge of the Sith.
So an eight-year-old Luke.
So an eight-year-old Luke, yes.
It sounds so cute!
It does sound cool, and obviously...
A young Vader 8 years into his career.
Yeah.
So
proper Vader's Sith.
Been Vader, have they said Vader's going to be in it?
They've said Hayden Christensen is coming back as Darth Vader, but what they haven't said is if he's going to be in the suit or not, or if it's just going to be like flashbacks.
He's coming back as Darth Vader.
Yeah.
They didn't say he's coming back as Anakin Skywalker. They said he's coming back as Darth fucking Vader.
Yeah. So I think we're going to see him in the suit.
Oh.
Which is amazing. Another show that I'm getting more excited about. You remember I told you a while ago about that MODOK comedy show?
Yeah, yeah.
So they've just announced some more cast listings recently. John Hamm as Iron Man is going to be...
Oh, because you said it's a cartoon.
Yeah, it's a stop-motion animation.
Right.
So John Hamm as Iron Man, which is fucking awesome. Bill Hader as the leader. And and Nathan Fillion as Wonder Man.
Okay. Those are all interesting choices.
I know. John Hamm as Iron Man intrigues me so much.
Mm.
And he's been in more comic book stuff recently. He's a voice on the Invincible show that just came out. So
yeah.
Yeah, it's great seeing him pop up more. I love John Hamm. I love me that ham.
Love me some ham.
And then some final...
I'm a vegetarian.
Some final Spider-Man stuff leading into our main Easter egg portion today. Spider-Man 3 has officially wrapped filming. So that movie is now going into editing and all of that and should be ready by December, which is exciting. And then Christopher Daniel Barnes, our voice of Spider-Man, is now heavily rumored to be involved in the cast of Spider-Verse 2.
Oh, good.
So that'd be fucking awesome if Christopher Daniel Barnes came back as Spider-Man in the Spider-Verse movies.
It would be great, but imagine if he is the animated series Spider-Man.
That'd be even better.
In the Spider-Verse, it's like he's just, you know, it is like... continuation of the show.
What if they end up showing him finally being reunited with Mary Jane in like a quick little thing?
Yeah, it could be his little quest in the movie.
Oh, that'd be so amazing to close that
John
chapter.
Semper's head would explode with jealousy.
John Semper would definitely post online about that. I can see it now. All right, anyway, let's get into our...
He would not be wishing happy birthday to the writer.
All right, okay, let's go on with the next bit, which is our main segment, the Easter eggs of Spider-Man the Animated Series.
How do you know about stuff like this?
Hey, who do I look like? The Tick? My spider sense is going bonkers.
I'm not sure I understand it all myself, but here's what I know.
Are you ready?
Go for it!
You're here amongst friends.
What's that in your hand?
It's some kind of recording device, I found.
I can't believe this! How could they get it so wrong?
Now there's nowhere Spider-Man can run. At last he'll get what he deserves.
Thanks, Aunt May. I needed that.
This is something you have trouble remembering?
Hey, I hear that kind of thing 2-3 times a week.
Face it, Tiger. You just hit the jackpot.
All right, so you're still laughing over there, you son of a bitch. All right, so the first at the top of this, I'm losing my thoughts because you made me laugh so much. At the top of this, what we did last year is season one Easter eggs of the show. So lines that are Easter eggs or characters or references or little things that you may have missed as a Spider-Man fan, especially of the show. We're just going to go through it for season two this year. I'll go episode by episode, list some Easter eggs, and if there's ones that you like a lot, we'll chat about them. But some of them are just kind of like, this was an Easter egg, and we kind of all know it, but I've included it there for people that might not know it. Alright, so the first two episodes, because it was a two-parter, is the Insidious Six and Battle of the Insidious Six. Do you remember those episodes as well? Like, it feels like a lifetime ago we reviewed those.
I don't even remember that we've even seen the Insidious Six yet.
Yeah. Do you remember that where Kingpin broke them all out of jail and then like united them to capture Spider-Man? And that's when Chameleon pretends to be Aunt May and does then that creepy old hag face as well. And they unmask Spider-Man and they're like, it's Peter Parker. But then they realize that Peter makes up a story like, I was sent in here by Spider-Man. Don't you remember any of that?
Nope.
mean, I do admit sometimes we do episodes and they're gone from my brain. Like, the moment I hit stop, I'm like, and I'll never remember talking about that. All right, so these two episodes, this two-parter, is based on Amazing Spider-Man Annual Number 1, where Dr. Octopus first forms the Sinister Six and Spider-Man had to fight them whilst losing his powers, which is also what happens in it. Do you remember him losing his powers against them?
Vaguely.
It's the start of his mutation disease, where he was losing his powers. Shocker is the only villain... Villain? Wow.
Villain.
Villain. Shocker is the only villain...
Oh, villain.
...who keeps his costume on in jail. Rhino and Dr. Octopus have to keep their costumes on as they're bonded to their bodies. But when we see all of the prison break of the Insidious Six, Shocker is the only one in his costume, continuing the fact that we never see Shocker's face in this show.
I mean, that's... It's like, all right, Shocker, all your powers are deviated from your costume, so we're just going to let you keep wearing it.
Yeah, he doesn't have his gauntlets.
Which oh, okay.
Is, yeah, he's just got his, like, balaclava on and... just chilling as Shocker. But, I mean, you're just going to look like a gimp in jail, aren't you? Wearing that.
Yeah, you're not allowed to just have your face covered like that. Unless no. It was like, it's my religion.
Maybe.
Like, oh, so sorry.
Maybe you paid off a bunch of guards. I don't know. But yeah, it was definitely something that I was like, oh yeah, I've never realized that he has his costume on the entire time. All right, next one. After Chameleon frees Dr. Octopus... He says, Dr. Octopus, I presume. This is a paraphrased version of Dr. Livingston, I presume, which was said by a Welsh journalist named Henry Morton Stanley after finding Dr. David Livingston in Africa on November 10th, 1871, thus cementing a very famous line. So,
Jan Livingston, I presume.
I was just about to say that reminds me of The Office, which is probably what he's referencing there.
It is what he's referencing.
That's amazing. I've never realized that. During the episode, Dr. Octopus tells Kingpin, "He who travels fastest travels alone." This is a quote from the author Rudyard Kipling, who wrote The Jungle Book, The Man Who Would Be King, and many more. That's the famous writer that our aunt and uncle live close to his estate.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. You know that.
No.
You know that big fuck-off house that's down the road for them where you're like, is this their new house? And I'm like, no, you dickhead. It's further down the way. That's a fucking... That's Rudyard Kipling's mansion.
Oh, I've walked around his garden.
Yeah, you have walked around his garden.
I farted. I wafted it to his door.
The newspaper that Spider-Man reads is called The Post, which is a real-life newspaper, which is more commonly known as the New York Post. First time that the Daily Bugle was not shown, and it's another newspaper, which I thought was
weird.
That's
just weird.
During the episode, Kurt Connors mentions the Tombs
Foundation. You know what, speaking of that, I was drawing a Marvel comic, right, once, and the character was reading it, had to be reading a newspaper. So I was like, oh, I'll just make it the Daily Bugle. And I made it the Daily Bugle, and my editor was like, you can't do that. I was like, why? They're like, just no, you just can't do that.
Why?
I was like, this is a Marvel book. They're like, no.
But is the Daily Bugle out of like business when you were writing when you were drawing this book?
I also think the book I was drawing may have had Spider-Man in it as well.
What?
So when I had to change it, I was like, okay.
I just changed it to
like, I don't know, like New York City up to data or something like just, you know. Non-copyrighted.
Cool. What a hit.
I remember walking away from that. I'm like, this is like the fun part of the job. Like, I'm working for Marvel, like, you know, just being like, oh, look, it's like the Daily Bugle, you know, the newspaper of their universe.
It's your Easter egg.
Like, if I was drawing Superman, I was like, Daily Planet. Like, no, you can't have that in there, bud.
Yeah, it's your Easter egg. Like, oh, so you want a
plant. They'd be like, can't have that either. I'd be like, ah, fine, fucking DC Comics newspaper. There we go.
During this episode, Kurt Connors mentions the Tombs Foundation, which sets up Adrian Toomes and the Vulture later on. So we know the story of why they changed the name Sinister Six to the Insidious Six.
The word sinister was too sinister.
Yep. But what's funny is that X-Men, which was running at the same time, had a character named Mr. Sinister on the show. Mm-hmm. So that's a bit contradictory. It was
like Bryan Cranston is voiced saying, I would want to play that guy.
Really?
And I'm like, Brian, do you know who that is? Like,
out of all the characters, you've got so much more range.
Big, like, frog-lipped, like, muscular, andronagist, like, guy. Like, that's who you want to play?
Yeah, I...
Not like Lex Luthor or some cool shit like that?
Way better.
He's like, don't typecast me, motherfucker. I'm like, all right, bye, bye, bye.
Well, you've said Bryan Cranston as the Lizard and Kurt Connors before, which I thought was a good choice. Oh, yeah. And... You know,
and be pretty good at as well.
Yeah, and finally, Kurt Connors tells Spider-Man that he's mutating, which is a result of the neogenic mutation in his blood. But in the comics, Spider-Man only starts to mutate after experimenting on himself to try and rid himself of his powers. So that was the difference in the show, is that the neogenic...
Oh, no!
Oh, I hate that so much! That haunts me, that I'm like, oh, no, and then just like... Blah, 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 just become a giant, gross spider. All right, next episode, Hydro Man. This episode was originally titled I Cried a River Over You. In fact, it was referred to that in Netflix as well, when it was on Netflix for a short period a few years ago. It was titled I Cried a River Over You, not Hydro Man, which is interesting. Mm. This episode is loosely based on Amazing Spider-Man number 212, which is the first appearance of Hydro Man. And I was reading in the comics... how Hydro Man came to be, comparing it to the show. And he did work on a ship in the Navy, but mm-hmm. Spider-Man was like heavily involved. And he was like, for some reason, Spider-Man was out on this ship trying to stop something. And he accidentally knocks, I can't remember Hydro Man's name outside of being Hydro Man. Maury. He knocks Maury into the sea, and then the same thing happens like in the show, where this like underground fucking ray thing turns him into Hydro Man. But what I found,
Spider-Man created him,
and what I found really weird is Spider-Man jumps in the water to try and save him, and he sees Maury being dragged towards the propellers of the boat, and he can't get to him in time, and he sees Maury go through the propellers, but then because he's Hydro Man, he goes through the propellers and just comes out on the other side, which Spider-Man doesn't see. And then eventually Maury climbs up on the boat and everyone's like, are you okay? And Spider-Man's like, yeah, he looks fine to me. I'm like, he went through the fucking propellers, Spider-Man. You saw it. And then apparently he tries to dry himself with towels and he's continuing to be wet. And he's like, I'm still wet.
I like that.
Yeah. And he gets really...
Get dry.
He gets really annoyed with Spider-Man over it, and then goes to shore to like go to a bar and get drunk. And it's the hottest day of the year, and he just evaporates like on the pavement, and then reforms himself later on. And then he's like, "I'm gonna kill Spider-Man for doing this for me. This is really inconvenient. I'm always wet." So yeah, that was weird.
Why not the company that was doing the tests underwater?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but he's like, yeah,
nah, they're just doing their job.
Spider-Man knocked me into the water. It's his fault. All right. Earlier in this episode, Spider-Man calls Hydro Man Kemosabe, which is a phrase used and made popular in The Lone Ranger. Let's see what else. This episode marks one of the few times the word "kill" is used in Spider-Man the Animated Series. Liz Allen says "kill" in Pig Latin, which I don't think counts as kill.
Of course she does.
Yeah. She says ilke, which when she's talking to Mary Jane. The Seville Hotel, where Mary Jane first meets Hydro Man, is a real hotel in New York City. The name of the hotel had actually changed by the time this episode came out, as they changed it to the Carlton Hotel in 1987. The year I was born. Do the maths, listeners. That's how old I am. All right, next bit of news. 34. next Easter egg. Spider-Man briefly mentions Namor the Submariner during this episode. I don't remember that. Do you?
Oh, yeah?
I bet we talked about it.
Apparently, I don't remember anything, so.
I bet when we reviewed this episode, we talked about
it. Oh, we must have talked about that.
Yeah, there's no way we missed that. Hydro Man sings Itsy Bitsy Spider during his fight with Spider-Man. And during the episode, Spider-Man jokingly asks if he gets his merit badge for staying underwater for 3 minutes, which is obviously a badge awarded to Boy Scouts for achievements. So Spider-Man wants his little underwater badge. Cool, right?
Real super interesting stuff.
Next two-part of the Mutant Agenda and Mutant's Revenge. Do you remember the X-Men episodes? Do you remember reviewing those?
I do, yeah.
This two-parter is based off a three-part miniseries called Spider-Man: The Mutant Agenda, which was published between March 1994 and May 1994. I didn't know that. I didn't know that it was an actual...
Not a long series.
Yeah, not a long one at all. The Mutant Agenda was also the very first newspaper strip, where issue zero of the series was empty, and you had to cut out comic strips from the newspaper and glue them into the complete to complete the story. Issue zero, when complete, contained the same story as Spider-Man: The Mutant Agenda, issues 1-3. So you had to go in the newspaper and find little squares that had your story in it, like Spider-Man and the X-Men and stuff, and then assemble your story yourself, which is pretty cool. During the opening credits, the writer of the Mutant Agenda comic miniseries, Stephen Grant, is credited. It reads on screen, based on a comic book story by Stephen Grant, and he also co-wrote these episodes. So the dude who did the comics also co-wrote these episodes, which I thought was a cool little ad for him.
That is cool.
When X-Men chase Spider-Man through the Xavier Mansion, the theme song to the X-Men, the animated series, plays, which I remember us talking about because I haven't heard it in a while. I'm there. I do like that theme. I'm not a big fan.
One of the best themes ever.
It is, and still used to this day when people are talking about it. It's a very good theme.
I used to know how to play on guitar. It was quite satisfying to play on guitar.
Gambit's eyes are colored different in this episode. So they're different in X-Men the Animated Series compared to Spider-Man the Animated Series. Apparently, they're more purple in Spider-Man the Animated Series without any like black pupil going around it. The Sentinels are also colored differently than they are in X-Men the Animated Series. They're all purple in Spider-Man, whereas in X-Men, they're red and purple. And Cyclops' optic blast is a different color as well. In X-Men, it's red. In Spider-Man, the animated series, it's pink. You a red Cyclops beam fan? I am. Over a pink?
Well, red on the outside beam and then pink on the middle beam.
Yeah, I suppose, like, well, like, yeah, a very bright red in the middle, maybe. Like a bright white type of red.
No, like, yeah. A bright white type of red, so you mean pink.
Yes, I mean pink. Yes, artist, that's what I mean.
No, it's like red, but it's like mixed with white. And it's lighter.
Spider-Man and Wolverine call Hobgoblin a clown, which could be a reference to Mark Hamill's role as Joker in Batman the Animated Series. Oh, a little fun Easter egg there. This episode features a brief look at Beast's human form before he grew blue fur. This is the only episode to feature Hank McCoy's original human body in both X-Men the Animated Series and Spider-Man the Animated Series. So even X-Men never showed Beast's face as a human, but Spider-Man did, which is pretty cool. During the episode, Beast says, "Methinks the lady doth protest too much." Do you remember that line?
Yes.
Yeah, we used to say that a lot, which is a quote from the play Hamlet, obviously a Shakespeare play. And Wolverine is cutting through the wall with his claws, and the slice marks on the wall are in the shape of an X. Obviously, because it's X-Men, and he's like, that's my team, so I'm going to cut slice X's through the walls. Because I'm cool like that. Okay, next episode is Morbius.
That was so exciting that somehow my headphones disconnected for a second.
It's because you touched them, isn't it?
No, I didn't. I leaned forward. Yeah.
Oh, weird. Next episode, Morbius. This episode and Enter the Punisher is based on Amazing Spider-Man 101 and Amazing Spider-Man 102, which is the story arc known as the Six-Arm Saga. During the episode, Michael Morbius mentions Bela Lugosi. Bela Lugosi played Count Dracula. When Morbius talks to Felicia about the disease that is affecting his home, there is a brief shot of a castle with bats flying away from it, paying homage to Dracula's castle. So they were going heavy on the Dracula Easter eggs in the Morbius episode. I remember also reading that, and maybe I have it written down, but I don't think I did, that the Man Spider didn't show up in the comics until after the animated series. Do you know that?
So the Man-Spider is a creation of the show?
Yeah, because he didn't show up until 1998 in the comics. And this episode...
Really?
Yeah, and this episode came out in, like, 90...
So that's,
96.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. The six-arm saga where Spider-Man has six arms, yeah. that's in the comics.
Oh, I see.
But the Man-Spider is not, which I thought was interesting.
A Man-Spider!
Because I really like the Man-Spider. I love to be scared of the Man-Spider.
I remember we had a dope Man-Spider toy as a kid.
The McFarlane toy?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was amazing. Okay, Carl Potts was brought in to write this episode because of his work in the Punisher comics. Potts was responsible for developing the Punisher comics and having Punisher go from being a guest star character to a franchise character. So Carl Potts is the one who helped bring Punisher into actually being his own comic book title character, which I think is cool.
Well done, Mr. Potter.
Absolutely. Punisher was slightly redesigned for this episode. Instead of dressing in all black in this Punisher wore blue. Punisher was also given a trench coat and a headband. What do you think of his look?
That's not something that the show made, though.
What, the blue with the headband?
The headband is not a creation of the show.
Oh, really? Was in the
or the trench coat?
It's in the comics.
Yeah. Jim Lee drew Punisher like that in Punisher War Journal in the 80s.
Was he blue or was he black?
Yeah, he was like a more bluish color.
Yeah, I think I know what image you're talking about. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So they're just paying homage to the sort of Jim Lee look.
I think they probably chose that look because I don't know if that's how he looked at the time or just because I guess it's more of a kid-friendlier looking Punisher, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a good point, actually. If he's all in black with a white skull, that could be a little more intimidating for kids. In the comics, Punisher's partner was called Microchip. However, in this episode and all of his other appearances, he's only referred to as Chip. I never knew that.
Oh, that's so annoying.
Like, he's got a cool name, and you're just going to call him Chip?
Yeah, so he's like, no, my name's not Chip. It's Micro, like Microchip.
Yeah, call him
Micro. My real name is Gary, so don't call me Chip. I know I'm gigantic and I eat a lot of chips. I know. That's not where the nickname goes. I just saw it because you ate chips. It's not. I just said it's not because I eat chips.
Do you remember?
Yes. Do I eat chips? Yes.
Do you remember that the Newman played Microchip in one of the Punisher movies?
I do.
He was pretty good. He was a good choice.
He was a great choice, but not a great movie.
No, and they killed him in like 10 minutes.
They did.
They shot his head off.
Which reminded me of that. There's that comic where Punisher's like in his 60s and he finds out the good guy behind all his troubles is Micro and he goes to his house. And Micro's just like sitting there and he's like, I know what you gotta do. And just fucking Punisher just takes a shotgun and just blasts his whole fucking head off.
Well, that sounds like a much cooler story, though. That's
big splash page where it's Micro's head exploding.
So what do you mean he's behind all of Punisher's troubles?
Like, just for that issue, like, all the bad guys coming after him and stuff, it was all Micro's doing.
Oh, right. I wonder why he did that. Do you know?
I can't remember.
Okay.
It was your comic, actually. It was your graphic novel.
I owned it?
Yeah, you bought it. And I just took it.
Like, a physical Punisher novel? Not, like, a Comixology or anything?
No, no. We had this when we were, like, when I was in high school.
No way. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I obviously picked it up because I was like, cool, the Punisher. Read two pages. I was like, don't like it. Bye.
You know, we used to go to Borders and then our dad had discounts because of his work. So we used to buy off the spinner rack, but we also used to get fucking graphic novels. And that's when I first got Long Halloween and shit.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. You bought that Punisher one.
What a bad choice.
No, I like the book.
Yeah, but compared to what I would usually go for, like, I don't know, that's weird that I would go for a Punisher book. You know, I would go for,
I remember it was fucking 2003 and I saw Walking Dead number one in the stands and I was like, maybe not today.
Oh, you fucked up.
Yeah.
And then finally, this episode marks one of the few times the word blood is used instead of plasma. When Mariah Crawford talks to Spider-Man, she says she needs a sample of his blood. Duel of the Hunters, when Punisher subdues Kraven, he says, don't know who you are, Jungle Boy, but if you get in my way one more time, the lion ain't gonna walk tonight or ever again, which is referencing... Yeah, so in the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps tonight, so it's possibly referencing The Lion King, which came out the year before this episode came out and was obviously a big hit.
Why didn't he say sleeps then?
Yeah, that's true. Why wouldn't he say sleep?
Why would you misquote it?
Because he's the Punisher and doesn't watch The Lion King. He's just like, nah, it's a kid's movie.
My kids are dead!
Craven also quotes English philosopher Francis Bacon. Do you remember when we did that? When he says, a man that studieth revenge keeps his own wounds green.
What does that mean?
A man that studieth revenge keeps his own wounds green. I would think...
green in the sense of, like, new?
Fresh, yeah.
Okay.
So...
he's basically... I'm continuously keeping my wounds open to remind myself of the damage that...
yeah, by plotting revenge and thinking about how you're going to get revenge, you're not getting over that trauma and you're just going to constantly...
it's like the opposite of time heals all wounds.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Right.
At the end of the episode, when Kraven stops Punisher from killing Manspider, Punisher calls Kraven Gunga Din. Gunga Din is a poem written by Rudyard Kipling in 1890. So another Rudyard Kipling reference. I know, I never know how to say his name, Rudyard, because it's Rudyard.
I thought it was just Roger Kipling.
No, it's kind of, people say it quickly to make it sound like Roger, I think, because no one goes Rudyard. But I can't. It's weird. It's a weird one. And if I say it around our aunt, we'll probably get a 30-minute explanation on why it's wrong.
That's not his name, you stupid boy.
Kraven says that he's tracked Manspider from gunpowder that was left behind the World Trade Center from a bomb explosion several years ago. Kraven is talking about a real-life terrorist bombing that happened in the World Trade Center garage on February 26, 1993. Several,
blow up at the World Trade!
Several terrorists sent a truck bomb into the parking garage of the North Tower and planned to blow the building up and have the North Tower fall onto the South Tower and bring both buildings down. The terrorist plan obviously failed. Sadly, six people were killed and tens of thousands were injured. And then, of course, September 11th happened almost 8 years later, over 8 years later, which we all know what happened. And when that happened, this scene was edited out of all reruns of Spider-Man the Animated Series for almost a decade. All right, next series of episodes, The Blade the Vampire Hunter and The Immortal Vampire. When Spider-Man first fights Blade, Spider-Man says, great, another weirdo with an arsenal. This is a reference to Spider-Man fighting the Punisher a few episodes before, which I'd never realized, but that totally makes sense. The character Whistler was created for this show. I always forget that, and I think that's really, really? Fucking cool. Yep. Never in the comics, creator of the show, and obviously became a big character in the movies that came after. At the movie theater that Blade uses as his hideout, the 1958 movie Horror of Dracula is playing. The movie was called Dracula in every other country, but was renamed Horror of Dracula in the US to avoid confusion with the 1931 Dracula movie, which starred Bela Lugosi. I suppose that makes sense, but it's like almost, it's over 20 years later. Be like, you can call it Dracula, right?
I guess people were still loving that movie, so.
Maybe. Spider-Man says...
what came out 20 years ago now, back in 2000?
What, that so it's they,
like if the movie same... called The Matrix came out and you're like, it's not The Matrix. No, it's The Matrix.
Yeah, but it's still Dracula though, right? So if it's in the same vein as Dracula, then you could... there is another Matrix coming out, and I wouldn't call it the horror of The Matrix. I would just call it like The Matrix.
No, because that's... I hate that movies are starting to do that because it does... confuse things as it goes on. It's like, oh, I'm watching this, or you want to rent something. I don't like it. Or when you're trying to look up something, it's like, it just gives you a different movie.
This is the type of stuff that they probably chatted in the writer's room about, where they're like, we got to use this one and not this one. And the reason that it's called this is because of this. And they spend 20 minutes explaining it why they don't like it.
Yeah.
Fun. Spider-Man says the word
almost
blood.
As fun as the topic of this podcast.
Shut up! Spider-Man says the word blood in this episode when he catches Morbius searching his bedroom. In this episode, J. Jonah Jameson calls Morbius a refugee from an Anne Rice novel. Anne Rice is an American author that writes gothic fiction, and one of her most known stories is Interview with a Vampire. When was the last time you saw that movie?
Oh, God. Dimming basement, so sometime in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Did you like it?
No, but I remember you being like, I like this movie.
It is a good movie. I like it. I think it's a good movie.
It says what it does on the tin.
They interview a vampire.
They interview a vampire.
Brad Pitt. And he still looks the same fucking age. Yeah, Brad Pitt is the main vampire. Tom Cruise is the one.
Tom Cruise is the main vampire.
No, Tom Cruise is the one that turns him, but the guy, the vampire that's interviewed is Brad Pitt.
Oh, I need to see this movie again.
And then, what's her face? Mary Jane. Kirsten Dunst is in it as a little girl vampire.
Sounds riveting. Almost riveting as this podcast.
All right, well, we're almost done with a few episodes. I'm blaming the Easter eggs.
Thank God for that.
I'm naming Easter eggs.
I thought we were reviewing Justice League today.
We are going to get to some Justice League. We don't have to go into big chunks of it.
Tell me more facts about the show that you probably already told all of us already.
No, there's people that don't know this. You don't understand. People out there are like, dude, I need to know. They message me all the time and they're like, I need to know. What are the Easter eggs of Spider-Man? Tell me.
In a life, you nerds.
Right, the Tablet of Time and Ravages of Time, which are two episodes you actually thought were going to be shit and you enjoyed, if you remember. Mm-hmm. Both episodes are based on The Amazing Spider-Man number 73 and 75. In the episode, Spider-Man calls Tombstone a walking Mount Rushmore in reference to his stone-like face. Can you imagine Tombstone on Mount Rushmore? I don't think he would fit in there. I think he's a bit too grim for that.
Just as grim as all those other fucking slave owners up there.
Oh, shit! Breaking out some topics.
That's right. Topical. Yeah.
When Spider-Man goes to the top of the Empire State Building to meet with Alistair Smythe, Spider-Man says that he would rather be meeting Meg Ryan or Faye Ray up in the building. This is a reference to Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan meeting at the top of the Empire State Building at the end of the movie Sleepless in Seattle. And Faye Ray is the actress that played the female lead Ann Doro in the 1933 movie King Kong. So both of them up the top of the Empire State. You nodded your head there, which you're like, that was an okay fact, right? Right?
Yeah, that's why I nodded my head.
Okay, well, we can't see that. So people know that you actually like that fact. You go, oh, that was a good one.
That was a good one.
There we go. As Smythe is about to kill Spider-Man with the Mega Slayer, he says, good night, sweet prince, and flight of angels sing thee to thy rest. This is a quote again from Hamlet. So they love their Hamlet up in this beast, and they love their Rudyard Kipling. Rudyard. I can't say his name. Shriek of the Vulture and The Final Nightmare, the final two episodes of Season 2 Easter Eggs. Are you waiting with bated breath?
Oh, so bated.
Kurt Connors awards the science grant from the Tombs Foundation.
Baiting up a storm.
All right, Kurt Connors awards the science grant from the Tombs Foundation and makes Deborah Whitman his assistant. In the first episode of this season, The Insidious Six, Connors tells his class that the Tombs Foundation was awarding its science grant. Thus, they're completing that whole arc of who gets the Tombs Foundation science grant, and it's Deborah Whitman. Obviously, Peter and Morbius missed out on that because of their mutation problems. This episode and The Final Nightmare appear to be based on The Amazing Spider-Man number 387. In this issue, Vulture drains Spider-Man of his youth, making himself feel younger. Vulture's alias of Arthur Avis might be a play on the term rara avis, which is a Latin for rare bird.
Well, that's very interesting.
Yeah, that's a cool little fact.
I thought Avis would have had to do with, like, Avery, or Avery. I always say that word.
Aviarad?
No, flight, Avery.
Well, like aviation.
Yeah, but yeah. Can't you say, isn't there aviary?
An aviary is, I think, where they store birds in like a giant cage.
Is it?
Yeah. Pretty sure.
Well, that would make a lot of sense.
That would make a lot of sense, too. But aviary is probably derived from the word avis, which means bird, which is the Latin word. So it's probably derived from the Latin word, like most words are. Educational. All right, following the September 11th, 2001 terrorist attack,
Is this an April Fool's joke?
Shriek of the Vulture and Final Nightmare were both banned from being shown. So these two episodes, the final two episodes where you meet the Vulture and Spider-Man gets rid of his mutation disease, were banned because it featured a burning skyscraper. So you never, if you've never seen the show when it first aired, after September 11, 2001, you never see the end of Spider-Man the Animated Series Season 2 until 2007.
Wow.
Which is great. And it's a long time. All right. In one scene, Spider-Man...
This is long as this fucking podcast.
Spider-Man. You know, I had a listener say to me the other day, Will's just a negative, grumpy git, isn't he? Like, he's losing interest.
I am.
You are. Like,
I admit it.
Not nice to listen to, you know. People don't want to hear this. All right?
Turn it off anytime they like.
In one scene, Spider-Man falls into a dumpster with the name General's Fried Chicken on it, which references KFC.
So. What is that reference?
So it's, I guess it's GFC, General's Fried Chicken. That
good fucking chicken, what?
Good fucking chicken.
GFC. GFC me. Good fucking chicken, what?
That would be amazing if that's what it was. This episode,
the first time someone ever tells me, went, "Ah, this is some good fucking chicken, boy."
That's it, GFC. We've got it. Oh, fucking hell! And this episode marks one of only three times in the entire series that Spider-Man throws a punch. That is the end of our Easter eggs of season two. Are you excited for next?
Oh, I can't wait for next year.
This is why I tried calling my brother before this, and I was like, I've got a load of Easter eggs, there's some fun facts, but to make it more engaging, how can I include you more? And what was your response?
I don't fucking know.
And I was like, all right, I guess we're going the way we used to. Oh my god. We've got a listener question for us, which is our new category. Ask us a question. Go ahead and ask us. Give me a little jingle for go ahead and ask us.
Go ahead and ask us, you prick.
Not even a jingle, just an angry line. All right, we've got listener Terry Willis. Terry said, if you could do a spin-off show featuring one of the cameoed heroes in Spider-Man the Animated Series, who would it be and why?
Daredevil.
So you do a Daredevil spin-off show with that Daredevil?
The most well-rounded side character. I mean, I'd love a Punisher show, but you can't have a kid's Punisher cartoon. It just doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work.
So Blade would be pretty cool, but I just think Daredevil would be great.
Well, I would do Captain America.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I changed my answer to Captain America.
I'd do a proper World War II cartoon of Captain America. And, like, yeah. with Bucky and all of that stuff. Because
they were going to do it. There's that intro online, isn't there?
Yeah, they were going to do it. That was fucking awesome as well. All right, so there's our answers for that. And then finally, our final category is what you're doing with your life. So what are you watching these days? You reading anything?
Watching, we're nearly done with it. That's just how much we just fucking just have shit on TV all the time. Because I'm just working all the time, so all we can really do is just sit in front of the TV whilst I work. So we started watching Superstore, which is written by one of the writers from The Office.
Right.
And I looked up the writer, and he wrote what episodes did he write? Why have I completely forgotten them now? Anyway, he wrote some Office episodes.
Okay.
So it has that type of humor, but you know what the problem with that show is that the two main characters are so unlikable. Like, imagine watching The Office, but Jim and Pam are just the worst. Like, you're like, oh, fucking, I cannot stand watching these two.
Right.
That's what this show is. All the side characters are really funny. There's lots of funny premises. Like, there's lots of great one-line quips and just stuff that is generally really funny. But the main characters are like
they wrote,
yeah, we got banter. Will they, won't they? I don't know.
It's like what they do in Always Sunny with the when they're trying to copy the bar staff.
they're like, we're really fucking democratic and liberal, right, guys? And it's like, yeah, I am too, but you guys are putting it way too on Front Street.
Right.
Like, you're just making it just like you're, this is me.
It sounds like you don't like the show this much.
I love the show. The side characters, again, are very funny. But the main guy, like, the main guy is he's in Mad Men. He's the one that chops off his nipple towards the end of the show.
I can't remember that.
He goes crazy.
I can't remember.
He's the main guy, and he's like, I'm a guy that's supposed to go to med school and make something of myself, but I'm just going to grab a job quickly at basically Walmart, right?
Yeah.
But I'm not going to be around forever.
Oh, right? Yeah. Well, kind of like what Jim... What Jim's saying, like, about The Office, right? He's like,
many similarities to The Office. There's an assistant manager character that's a stickler all about the rules.
Dwight, okay?
Yes, except it's a woman. That's vegan.
So
that's the difference there.
A modern Dwight.
And there's a goofy boss who's just more about having fun with the people around him than the actual work. But he's actually the funniest character, and he's like religious as well. And then there's just the female lead as well, who's very much like Pam. But also just like, I don't know, there's just something about the two main characters that I don't like. Like, do you know what American shows do a lot? It's like, when they depict people like that are gonna fall for each other, it's all like, oh, we have instant witty banter with each other, right?
Right.
Like, yeah, you can get those socks if you like want to fucking be like a dude bro. Am I right? Yeah, dude bros are the worst. Like, it's that type of thing where it's like, oh, let's relate over making fun of people that we think are lower and littler than us, right? And it just like pisses me off.
Like, this sounds like you don't like the show.
No, the rest of the show is very funny. There's so many little
That's a big part of it that I would just be like, I don't want to watch this anymore if I was dealing with that amount of like hatred for something.
I don't hate them. Like, they have made me laugh occasionally. They're just two very basic characters.
Right. What else are you watching?
That's it. That's all we're watching right now.
Well, we saw Justice League, the Snyder fucking too long cut, didn't we?
We did, yep.
What do you think about that?
It was a thing.
It was way too long. Way, way too long.
Just wasn't good. Well, I just didn't like it personally. I know a lot of people do like it, and that's fine. But yeah, it was too long. It was a lot of little music videos in one giant music video. I just think that the dialogue was not up to par with what I enjoy personally.
Yeah, and the story was. I mean, the movie was better than the Josh Whedon cut, but that's like.
Was it though?
I thought it was, but I didn't think it was so much better, and like it deserves to continue on and like be its own story. And
like, as you pointed out, like this the actual main plot of like, cool, I dig it, right? Darkseid tried to take over a planet, he failed, so he had to fuck off. How would he? Why would he ever forget the one planet that he couldn't take over?
And also planet that has his hidden little fucking like.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Whatever it's called, the anti-life thing or whatever.
He's like, oh, we got to do it the old-fashioned way by flying there. I'm like, so what have you been doing anyway?
Yeah.
Just like the teleportation stuff, like
use a boom tube, dude.
But again, like, also he was like, oh, we can't. Before he was like. Oh, we can't take over this planet because Superman is there. Why didn't you do it before Superman was there? Because you had generations and generations of time.
Yeah, you had thousands of years. Yeah.
On the fucking planet.
And there was no...
Or a Green Lantern.
No. And also... What
or a Martian.
What I don't get is how did Steppenwolf know that Superman existed? Like, they haven't gone to Earth in fucking centuries. Thousands of years, even. And then he's just like, I arrived and there's no Kryptonian here. There's no this.
I've got the latest Daily Planet.
And people are like, well, that's because the mother boxes woke up because of Superman screaming. Why did Superman scream wake the mother boxes at the beginning?
Is that what wakes them up?
That's what makes them up. Makes them up. Wakes them up. Yeah. Is him dying.
That also is very stupid.
Makes no sense. And
that's Superman's version of
and if they woke up because Superman because the Kryptonian that was defending the planet died, then fine. But Superman had only been there for a hot minute. Like, he hadn't been around long. He'd only been there, like, as Superman for, like, a couple years, tops. So yeah. that doesn't make any sense. Yeah, there's a lot of holes that you could continue to put.
Turning into...
Makes like... no sense. So, did... Does he... Like, is he Martha Kent? As well as... as well as this soldier dude?
Imagine if he popped up in Batman v Superman, like... Why, like, was like, why did you say that name? And he flies in, like, yeah, why did you say that?
Like, has he just been living as Martha Kent raising Superman with Kevin Costner this whole time? Like, as well as being this soldier? And also, did this soldier exist? And did Martian Manhunter kill him? Or has he been this soldier the whole time, and did he climb the ranks of the military and go through fucking decades to become a general? Like, did he dedicate himself that much to the role?
I don't know, and I just don't care.
That's what makes no sense. And the characters in general, like, I don't like the characterization of Batman, Flash, Aquaman. Aquaman, all right, he loves the ocean, right? Protecting the ocean. Dude litters. He throws his shirt. He throws his fucking bottles in the ocean.
He doesn't like the ocean at that point.
Yeah, but he's not going to litter the ocean, is he? Like, throw my Jack Daniels in there and my shirt.
I'll get it later.
Sea turtle.
My ocean. I don't want to chuck a bottle in my ocean. I'll chuck a bottle in my ocean.
I'm the fucking king. Yeah, and then also...
Like, I want to piss in my pool, I'll piss in my pool.
Wonder Woman doing the Michael Scott fucking... Michael Scarn blocking bullets thing and dodging them like he did on the ice in that movie. Oh, man, it's not good. And also, we pointed out, what happened to Batman just naming his vehicles Batplane and Batmobile and stuff? He's got the Fox, which is a plane. So why are you naming a plane a land animal?
And I thought, like, oh, is it based off of Lucius Fox?
That is a good shout. I thought that was a cool little reference. But they don't say that, do they?
But then he has the crab as well.
Yeah, and he has the crab. Alfred said the crab. I'd laugh so hard when he said that. Alfred'd be like, sir, you've got to name it something else. You can't call
Do you like my new motorcycle? It's called the BLT. Club Sadly.
With mayonnaise. Oh, God.
Extra mayo.
Alfred, fire up the number two with a Coke. Sir, I don't know what you want.
Alfred, I need to take the specific toilet bleach for a spin. Toilet bleach, sir. You know, the submarine.
Get the Preparation H ready, Alfred.
Is the Preparation H prepared, Alfred?
I just don't know what happened to all of that. I miss all of that. And then I guess the final thing I want to talk about is that whole nightmare sequence with...
Activate Christmas sweater, Alfred.
We could do so many of these. We could do so many. Oh, my God. It's like that college humor thing where the Riddler's like... Jetsons are really like...
Helicopter.
A box of steel cut oats.
A little boy's Sunday trousers.
It's you. You're the Riddler. You're riddling me.
He calls up Lucius. He's like, did you try helicopter?
That's a better Batman movie than Justice League.
I'm a bat.
Oh, God.
Yeah, those, you can get those all cut together now on YouTube, and it's like a 45-minute long fucking movie.
I watched them the other day.
It's hysterical.
It's so good. I really found it so funny. And there's so many people in that. Like, Peyton Oswald is the penguin in that, and I was like, he's a good penguin.
Yeah.
He works.
So many people. Name one other person.
I recognize other actors that, like, have gone on to do some, like, minor comedy roles in movies and stuff. So yeah, fuck you.
Just name one.
I can't name one right now. I can't remember.
So many people, right?
There was an actress I recognized where I was like, oh, I've seen her in a bunch of comedy stuff before. And that's that story.
Name
her. I can't. Yeah, Justice League, that nightmare sequence at the end. What did you think about all of that?
I would have rather it been a four-hour movie in that world than the world we were in.
I agree, but I just can't. I can't get.
I would have rather all of that Superman shit happened where Lois died and everything, and then they had to find the Flash to go back in time to change it all. I would have.
That sounds amazing. That sounds so much better. And also, she's the worst Lois Lane. Amy Adams is a wet dishcloth of a Lois Lane. So her dying at the beginning of that movie would have been great, because then you're like, all right, she's gone.
Yeah. You know what? That would have been a great movie. I was like, all right, let's go.
Yeah. I just can't get behind the Jared Leto Joker still, though. That fucking whole... As I said, he laughs like a fucking seagull. It's just the weirdest version of the Joker I've ever seen right there, and his long stringy hair, and just
reminds me of like a dude dressed up as Comic-Con, like creeping on girls dressed as the Joker.
Yeah,
and there's a girl dressed as Harley Quinn, he's like going over and like you like touch them and you're like, dude, just stop.
And also, what was with the reach around quote? He's like, who's that? Who's going to give you reach arounds now or whatever to Batman? I'm like, that was gross. So you're trying to touch Batman from behind? Is that what you're saying? Like, that was such a weird quote for him to say. I was like, all right, I don't need to actually, like, I always love the love-hate relationship that Joker and Batman have, but it's not a sexual one.
No.
You don't need to go there with it. It's just stupid.
Well, I like, as we said before, like, that their whole conversation is really, and their relationship is really null and void, because the whole point is, because like he says, like, I'm going to fucking kill you. He's like, oh, you won't kill me. And usually it's because that's Batman's one rule. He does not kill people.
Mm.
And that's why the Joker fucking loves it. And he wants him to break that fucking one rule to show him that he could become as much of a monster as the Joker is and humanity is. That's the poetic, beautiful thing about Batman and Joker. And in this, it's like, you won't kill me. And why? He's like, because you need me, because we're friends.
Yeah. And it makes no sense. And then also Batman's like, well, don't get me wrong, I will fucking kill you. And I'm like, I don't need to
kill him. Why is he keeping him alive again?
I had no idea.
In that scenario, why is the Joker being kept alive?
Yeah, what good on your team of misfits is the Joker going to help you do in that like apocalyptic future? How is he going to help you? Is he going to laugh like a seagull and distract Superman? Like, how's that going to work?
Just
kill him, yeah. And also, he's like,
guess what happens in Injustice? Doesn't he kill the Joker?
Yeah, well, that's what Zack Snyder's basically based all of his Justice League movies off of, is a fucking video game. It's like Injustice. Yeah,
apparently the comic of that video game is really good.
Well, I'm saying the movies aren't, because they're just not for me. Restore the Snyderverse, I am not getting behind. If you like it, if you dig it...
Fucking toilet.
Yeah, if you guys like it, then
I'll forget the toilet bleach. Franchise dry.
So is that the motorcycle or the helicopter? I can't remember.
It's the hot air balloon.
Batman in the hot air balloon is actually amazing.
Okay, we'll get there in about 16 hours. In the meantime, I guess enjoy the view.
He's got a picnic basket. Alfred, don't forget to bring the shower head. Is that the picnic basket, sir? Yes, it's the picnic basket. Remember the code names. Oh, fucking hell. And then another show we're watching that is way better is Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Oh, great stuff.
It's great stuff. I'm loving as you said, the banter between them is great. And like that whole chemistry between Bucky and Falcon. And
I just like Anthony Mackie, and I like, what's his name?
Oh, fuck.
Why is his name completely gone from my head?
Oh, no. Why is it blanking? Because he's going to be the best Luke Skywalker. Said,
oh, Luke Skywalker, he'd be the amazing Luke. Sebastian Stan,
well done. Yeah, got there in the end. Yeah, I love both of them. I think they're great. And they get a chance to flesh out their characters now, don't they? Like, they've always had second fiddle.
I always thought that Falcon was, like, a pretty weak character. And he proved me so wrong in the opening of that first episode, where he just fucking was playing hop, skip, and jump with all those fucking bad guys through those helicopters. That was such a badass scene. Yeah. And I watched that after I saw Justice League, and I was like, oh, man, that really makes Justice League look like a big pile of crap.
Absolutely. I agree. And it was really nice to go back into, because as much as WandaVision has its positives and negatives, and a lot of people like it more than dislike it, and I'm kind of on the fence. I don't know how I feel about that show, but I will say that it never felt like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, that show. It felt like a TV show. This feels like it's just a long movie, right? Like, it feels like we're watching a long...
And having a new cap, and you said that the actor's the son of Kurt Russell, which is cool as well. And just, like, you know, having the U.S., because he's the U.S. agent, right? That's the cap that's in it.
Yes.
And I just love that. His whole character is a big fat question mark right now. I can't wait to find out more about him.
Yeah.
And there's all that stuff I've seen online, which I love, which is they show the U.S. soldier, and then they show the old clip of Cap's scientist that says, not just a soldier, but a good man. And yes. I was like, ooh! Like, when I saw that, I was like, that is juicy right there. That's the juice.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why at the end of Endgame, when Cap hands Falcon the shield, he says, you're a good man. And I'm like, oh, that's just fucking awesome. He deserves the shield. And I love how he gave up the shield because he didn't feel like he deserved it. And the government.
I don't like this whole thing. Like, oh, he gave, like, they're playing it out like he gave up the shield. I like that he didn't give it up. He, like, donated it to a museum, like, to preserve it.
Well, he gave up the mantle of Captain America. Yeah. He didn't want to do it.
It was only the fucking, what I could only assume seems quite a Republican move to be like, nah, fuck that. Take that shit out of a museum. Let's get a new cap going, right?
Yeah, it's a brand. Let's keep the brand going. And they have more control over the US agent as well, by the looks of it. Yeah, I can't wait to see all of it. And Zemo, dude. Zemo, at the end. And I'm like, let's fucking go. Little
tiny mouth Zemo, ready to nibble on ice cream like a chipmunk.
He does have a small mouth. I've never realized that.
Smallest mouth in Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, it's some good stuff. I'm really excited to see more. Have you watched Invincible yet?
I haven't watched it yet, no.
Oh, that's been great as well. So now my Fridays are Falcon and the Winter Soldier, new episode, and new episode of Invincible, which is a nice little Friday now that I get to enjoy and have my bowl of cereal in the morning and watch those two shows.
What's your cereal of choice?
Right now it is Crunchy Nut Corn Flakes. It's tasty, not bad. Delicious, goes down
easy. I've been having Raisin Bran Flakes with a sliced banana.
That's what 85-year-old men have.
And a dribble of honey on top.
Oh, fancy.
It's very nice.
That does sound nice. It does sound
I
like...
I have along with a little bowl of fruit salad and I'm off.
It's the type of cereal you get on, like, a British holiday in, like, a hotel. You know what I mean? Where they're like, would you like some Raisin Bran with some banana and a drizzle of honey? Where you're like, oh, that sounds fancy. And it's just a bowl of cereal with honey in it and bananas.
I've always eaten that boring cereal.
Well, I'm glad that you're enjoying it and you're keeping the tradition alive. Are you watching?
I have to eat this shit to maintain being 270 fucking pounds. Ridiculous.
What was it earlier when we were talking about it? Where I said, like, it was a weight difference? You're like, no, bud, I wasn't. You're like, how fat do you think I am?
I was like, you were sending me old pictures of me making silly faces. I was like, yep, that's me 90 pounds ago. And he sent me another one. I was like, that's me 80 pounds ago. Because I could just remember my weight at all these different times.
Right.
When I said the 80 pounds ago, you were like, yeah, that's like me now. I'm like, how fat do you think I am?
It's like, well, pretty fat.
Yeah, pretty fat.
Oh, God. We have the banter. We do.
If everyone wants to know, I currently weigh 269 pounds, but I'm only 5'5½. So you do the math. I'd probably go out 6 foot this way and 5'5".
But the appetite of a 6 foot man.
Yes.
The other things I'm doing is I'm reading Dynamite's James Bond novelizations where they turn the novels into comics, which is...
I hear they hire good people to write and draw their comics.
They do, they do. Yeah, I'm really enjoying those. And then I also saw for the first time yesterday, Total Recall, the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. I've never seen it. And I'm telling you, it's a 90s sci-fi porno without the sex scenes. Everything about that movie screamed low-budget porno. Like, it was hilarious to watch. I enjoyed it, but it was absolutely ridiculous and over the top. And I'm like, how is this such a popular movie? It is so poorly written and acted and set. Arnold. It's Arnold, yeah. That's all I'm watching and reading and doing in my life.
Okay.
Well, let's wrap this shit up.
Listeners, if you think that Will is such a pessimistic...
I've got to get back to work.
Haven't you been working this whole time?
I have, but it gets uncomfortable on this chair.
Oh, does it? All right. Well, I won't ask you if you want to add anything then, because I assume the answer is no.
No.
No. Go buy his artwork. Available now. In stores everywhere.
Red Sonja number 25.
Red Sonja.
I don't know. I'm doing a Deja Thoris thing right now that's coming out, I think, next month.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I don't know if it's been announced, but I'm writing a drawing four-page thing for it, which is very artsy-fartsy.
Yes. All right, well, that's all the time we've got for this week. Join us next time where we'll continue talking all things Spider-Man, the animated series. Until then, I've been Alex Robson.
I've been Will Robson.
And remember, with a great podcast comes great recordability. Goodbye.
Fuck off. Spider-Blood, 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 Spider-Blood,